The title of my message this morning is, Have You Got an Aching Heart? Not because it's Valentine's Day, but that's the title of my message, Have You Got an Aching Heart? I read about a story of a soldier who did have an aching heart. The soldier was involved in Operation Desert Storm against Iraq in 1991. He had a girlfriend back home. But unfortunately, the soldier got a Dear John letter. Do you know what a Dear John letter is? It's a letter that says the relationship is over. And he got this Dear John letter, and the girl, his girlfriend back home, informed him that she was now going to marry another man. It caused great grief to the soldier. But adding to that grief, she wrote to him and asked him to return a favourite photo of herself that the soldier had. She wanted that photo to be put in the paper to advertise her engagements. The soldier told that to his mates, and he was very distressed, but one of his mates got a bit of an idea. He went round the whole camp, back in 1991, he went round the whole camp of all the soldiers and asked every soldier for a spare photograph of their girlfriend. He came back to the mate, and his friend ended up with hundreds of photographs of the other soldiers' girlfriends. And this is what the hurting soldier did. He put all the photos in a shoebox, he mailed it back home to the girl, and he put a note in. He said, "Please find your picture, but please return the rest. For the life of me, I can't remember exactly which one you were." What a cure for an aching heart. This morning, I want to ask you, have you got an aching heart? Not an aching heart, but an aching heart. Because there's a man in the Bible, in Joshua chapter 7, that had an evil heart, and his name was Achan. Achan's heart was focused on earthly things rather than heavenly things. This morning, I want us to examine Achan's heart and Achan's mistakes, so that we too might be guarded from having an aching heart. Achan's sin brought misery and destruction to his own life and also to the life of his family. Now let me give you some background. Joshua is a book that looks at Israel's conquest of Canaan. God had directed Joshua to take the people of Israel. Moses had died. He directed them to go over the River Jordan, which was in flood, and God performed a mighty miracle, and he stopped that flooding river so they could get to the land of Canaan, a land that was filled with milk and honey. The first city that they came to was the city of Jericho. And following the promises of God, being guarded by the presence of God, and in the demonstration of the power of God, they came against Jericho, those city walls came tumbling down, and they attacked their enemies. There was victory in Canaan because God's people obeyed God's word. The first city that they conquered was the city of Jericho. Joshua chapter 6 gives us the details of the victory that God's people had over the city of Jericho. Actually, Hebrews 11 talks about it as well. Hebrews 11 verse 30 says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. God's people by faith took an impenetrable city. How do we overcome the impenetrable forces in our lives? How do we conquer the giants in our lives? It's the same as God's people. We, just like they, have to put faith in God's word, trust his promises, rely on his power, acknowledge his presence. 1 John 5 verse 4 gives us a remedy for overcoming the world, a remedy for victory. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God did a miracle for the Israelites. They're able to conquer that first city because of the power and presence of God. Now in Joshua chapter 7, there's another city for them to conquer, and it's the city of Ai. And what happens, as you read in Joshua chapter 7, Joshua sends out spies into the land to take a look at Ai. The spies come back with a report, and they say, we only need about 2,000 or 3,000 men to take the city. Maybe the spies thought of Jericho, maybe they looked at the two cities, they compared against them, and they thought, Jericho was a pushover. Well, Ai will be as well. They thought maybe it was an easy target. But tragedy strikes. Israel was defeated in this battle against Ai, and 36 men lost their lives. Israel's army was defeated, and fear struck the nation. And in this great crisis, Joshua and the elders come before the Lord. Look at Joshua 7 verse 10. So the Lord said to Joshua, get up, why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they had become doomed to destruction. Israel was defeated because of sin in the camp. Sin caused their defeats. And I reckon there's a great lesson here for individual Christian lives and for the church at large. Sin can bring defeat to our lives. Sin can bring defeat to the church. Sin brings defeat. Sin brings destruction. Sin brings devastation, and ultimately sin brings forth death, the Bible tells us. One man in the nation of Israel contributed to the defeat of Israel at Ai, and that man was Achan. Achan sinned, and his sin affected the whole nation. Achan had taken forbidden things out of Jericho. Now, Joshua had warned his people that they should not take from Jericho. So it wasn't as if Achan was innocent. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 17, now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction. All who are in it, only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messages that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take in the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. The silver and the gold and the bronze items were to be the Lord's. Achan was a disobedient and, I believe, a discontent soldier. He was with God's people that when they're in the battle of Jericho, and yet he fell for the sin of covetousness. Achan desired to take what was not his. Achan was not just content to be in the Lord's army. Achan was not just content with the victory that God gave his people at Jericho. Achan was not just content with the land that God had promised. Achan had to have more. Look at Joshua 7 verse 20. This is Achan's own words. Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and they are here, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. Achan wanted more than victory. He wanted clothes and silver and gold that were not his to take. I, among the spoils, I saw among the spoils, he said, a beautiful garment. Something about sin. Sin if you just remember anything, one sentence from this whole message, just remember this. Sin fascinates and then sin assassinates. A discontented man is never rich, but a contented man is always rich. Achan was a discontented man, a man that coveted what was not his. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." I've done a lot of funerals in my time of ministry. When I was living in Manila, we would assemble at the church after the funeral. The graveside, the cemetery, was on the other side of the river. And there'd be a big procession of cars that would go from the church across the river to the other side, out to the rural area there where we would have the funeral. But, you know, in all those processions of cars that I've seen, I've never, ever seen a removalist following the hearse. There's never been a removalist van at all following the hearse. Why? Well, you can't take it with you, can you? 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, "For we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." I remember one funeral I did at Manila. Judy borrowed the car and I was left out at the gravesite, out the bush on the other side of the river there, and I had to ask the funeral director for a lift. So he gave me a lift in his hearse, dropped me off at my front gate, and I reckon I'm the only person in the whole of Manila that got out of a hearse on 2 feet and thanked the funeral director for the ride. Only person there. Achan coveted what was not his. A fancy piece of clothing, some silver, some gold, and his family paid the price. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This is also vanity." Proverbs 23 verse 4, "Labour not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, then they fly away as an eagle toward heaven." Do you remember the story of the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19? He valued things more than people, and he valued things more than following Christ. How sad. Someone wrote this down. It was a letter that they wrote. A letter to God. "Dear Lord, I have been rereading the record of the rich young ruler and his obvious wrong choice. It has set me thinking. No matter how much wealth he had, he could not ride in a car, have any surgery, turn on a light, buy penicillin, hear a pipe organ, watch TV, wash dishes in running water, type a letter, mow a lawn, fly in an airplane, sleep on an inner spring mattress, or talk on the phone. If he was rich, then what am I?" Makes you think, doesn't it? After Jesus challenged the rich young ruler, Matthew says he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Achan, a man in the Lord's army, was a man that had heard the promises of God. He was not only a man that had heard the promises of God, but he'd experienced the deliverance of God. He, along with other people in the nation of Israel, had ceased from being wilderness wanderers, and they'd become Canaan conquerors. Under the hand of God, Achan and his people had crossed the flooded River Jordan, and they'd conquered Jericho. But Achan coveted what was not his, and he also stole. God had promised his people a great land. It was a land filled with milk and honey, a prosperous land, yet Achan was not content with that. I truly believe that you cannot find true contentment in life unless you put God first. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The Apostle Paul knew contentment, didn't he? He said, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Have you learnt contentment? Are you satisfied with what God has given you? Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. A lot of people put things first instead of putting God first. That's called idolatry. If you love anything more, serve anything more, fear anything more than God, that is idolatry. God is to be first in our lives and not second. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Jesus said, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't put God second. You must put God first in your lives. The Bible shows us that there were a number of sins that contributed to Israel's defeat before Ai. I wonder this morning, have you thought of the number of different sins that contributed to their defeats? Let me go through them very quickly. Achan wanted what was not his. He saw, he coveted, he stole, he hid. You can see the progression of sin in Joshua 7, verse 21. I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and took them, and they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. See the progression? I saw, I coveted it, I took them, they were hid. Tragic. Tragic that he first began to look at something that was not his. Secondly, Achan took what was to be the Lord's. The gold and the silver of Jericho was to be the Lord's. Joshua 6, verse 19. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Thirdly, let's think about Israel. When Joshua sent the spies out to have a look at Ai, they came back with a report. And if you read their report, they don't mention the Lord once. Nothing at all. Were they relying on their own strength to win the victory? I think so. The spies said that the people of Ai are few. I think they thought Ai would be a pushover. Joshua 7 verse 2, so the men went up and spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. Don't mention the Lord at all there. No mention of the Lord. They thought it was an easy victory. In their eyes, the people were few. They weren't trusting in the Lord. I believe that's a temptation that we all face, isn't it? When we face a battle in our lives, we're tempted to rely on our own strength for victory rather than the Lord. We're tempted to weigh up the situations through our own abilities or the numbers against us rather than relying on God's ability. Zechariah 4 verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Are you relying on your own strength? Achan coveted and stole and hid what was not his. Secondly, Achan took what was to be the Lord's. Thirdly, I think the spies in Israel were relying on their own strength for victory. And fourthly, Achan's family was led into sin by the sin of Achan. How do we know that? Well, I believe that they were involved. Scriptures doesn't really specifically say that. But if I look through the eyes of Sherlock Holmes and I was investigating the scriptures, I come to the conclusion that they are involved. Why? Joshua 7 verse 22. So Joshua sent messengers and they ran to the tent, and there it was hidden in his tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire, and they had stoned them with stones. Now, why do I think that his family were involved? I think his family were involved because they were stoned. They were stoned as guilty people, I believe, there. There's another clue. Deuteronomy 24, verse 16. The Bible says, "Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin." The children could not, according to God's law, could not be put to death because of their fathers. But here we have a situation where the children are put to death. I think, this is just me thinking, I think they were put to death because they were guilty. The law of God said, "Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin." I think his children must have been involved. Perhaps they helped him carry the booty. Perhaps they helped him bury it in his tent. Now, you might say Joshua chapter 7 is a pretty tragic story. You might think, well, that's enough. We can go and have a cup of coffee now. Not quite yet. Illumination without application is pretty useless. I need to bring some application to us this morning. The things that happened to the nation of Israel happened as a warning and an example to us. Let's apply this tragic story to our own lives. Achan coveted and stole and hid what was not his. "I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and took them, and there they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it." I think it's a lesson here. We need to beware of coveting. Beware of loving things that are in the world. Christians should not covet. Achan desired a garment from Babylon. He wanted the world's clothing. A Babylonian brand was his desire for that day. Do you know that there are Christians that cover the world's brand names today? They've got to have the world's garments today. They spend a fortune on a brand name and they forget to bear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They boast about their name brands and they forget to boast about what Paul boasted about. Paul said, "But he who glories, or he who boasts, let him glory in the Lord." Are you proud of the brand name clothes that you wear? Are you wearing Babylon's beauties? Can I give you a list of the Christian's clothing? 1 Peter 5 verse 5. "Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but give grace to the humble." 1 Peter 3 verse 3. "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Achan had his eyes on a Babylonian garment, and he took it. His eyes were on the world. "Do not love the world," John says, "or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Secondly, Achan took what was the Lord's. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Achan robbed God. Can Christians rob God? Absolutely. As believers in Christ, we can rob God by not giving of our time, not giving of our talents, and not giving of our treasure. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. But so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudging or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Are you robbing God as a believer? Are you robbing God of your time, of your talents, of your treasure? Achan robbed God. Thirdly, I think the spies and Israel were relying on their own strength for victory. In the battles that you face today, are you relying on your own strength? John Henry Yeates wrote that hymn, which was called "Faith is a Victory." Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. In verse 4 he writes, "Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts will love a flame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name." Faith is a victory. Are you relying on yourself? A fourth thing, Achan's family were led into sin, I believe, by the sin of Achan. Achan's sin caused the destruction of Achan and his household. Sin has consequences for you and your family. We do not sin in isolation. You know, I know of at least two families of where the fathers viewed pornography. In the old days of the pornographic magazines, they're still around, but it's available on the internet and is destroying many, many lives today. But in the days of the pornography magazines, when that was the only way that men viewed pornography, I know of two fathers that viewed pornography and their sons inherited the same habits. How did they do that? They saw their father's magazines. And I know one of those sons that went on to stumble a number of kids in his class. We do not sin in isolation. We live in a fallen world today because of the consequences of the sin of Adam. We don't sin in isolation. Sin fascinates, and then sin assassinates individuals and even whole families. Lastly, Achan thought he could hide his sin. Psalm 69 verse 5. "O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you." Numbers 32 verse 23. "Be sure your sin will find you out." You cannot hide your sins from God, but you know what the good news is? You can hide your sins in God. Rock of Ages, that wonderful hymn, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide thyself in thee." God has provided a way to take away our sins, and that's because he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for all our sins. The Bible says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." This morning, you might think that I've hidden my sins, that no one knows about it. I want to tell you, God knows all about it. But there's a chance that you can have your sin hid in God if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. Have you got an Achan heart? Achan's heart was focused on earthly things rather than heavenly things. If you've got an Achan heart today, you need to come to Jesus. He'll deal with all your failures if you come to him. Rock of ages, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling, naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Aiken's life is a lesson to every believer. We do not sin in an isolated sense. God sees all that sin. Our sin will affect our families. Our sin can affect our church. Our sin can even affect a whole nation. Pray that you don't have a heart like Aiken.